lift your voice in the Lord right now. Why don't you lift your hands? Why don't you clap your hands? Why don't you let a praise ring out from your body? Hallelujah. Use the unique instrument of your voice to give praise unto God. He's worthy of all praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Feels good to be in the house of the Lord. Feels good to be in the presence of the Lord.
Huh.
What a mighty God we serve. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It is such an honor to have you in service with us tonight. Cox family, so thank you for coming. We tried to make this happen some weeks ago, and it was a weekend that didn't work out. We had an unexpected death in the family. We had to go to a funeral, and just a lot of things happened. So we had to, unfortunately, we had to cancel on you guys then, and I still apologize for having to do that. But we talked to him earlier and said, hey, man, we got a Monday where the kids are off school. You guys can come over and hang out, preach for us, and we'd love to have you. He said, well, let's do it. So they're here, and I'm looking forward to hearing the word of the Lord. I don't know about you. Brother Cox, it's an honor to have you here. Pastor's a great church in Harvey, Illinois, only about a little over an hour away from us, not too far. Not so far that we couldn't get together more often, but you know how that is. But we're thankful that we have this opportunity, not only looking forward to the Word and Him preaching and ministry of the Word, but looking forward to the fellowship we're going to have with our family afterwards. And Brother Cox, we want you to come, just take your liberty and preach to us, man. Why don't you make Him feel welcome?
Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We worship and magnify your name. There is none like you. There is none like you. There is none like you. You alone are worthy to be praised and magnified, glorified in this house. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. High honor to your pastor and his wife and their children. Amen. We just have grown over these last couple of years that we have got to know them, just to love them. And if you appreciate your pastor and his wife and family, I wonder if you could just give them a hand clap of appreciation. You are showing towards your spiritual authority. It sounds like I need to get the CD of this morning's message. That's what it sounds like to me. Amen. Amen. But we are just glad to be here. Just walking into this building just brings back so many memories for me. And it's good to have my wife and Tanner with me. But just this building, when I first started preaching, I held a couple of revivals here. Some of you probably still trying to get that out of your mind, but I was just a funny thing. I was thinking, I guess back in the day, used to sell peanut brittle, right? And so I would come over here during the day and I'd study and get ready for the services at night. And so you would make the peanut brittle in the kitchen. Well, there was bags of the peanut brittle that if they were broken, you couldn't sell them. I ate every bag of broken peanut brittle. Then I started breaking bags just so I could. It's broke, I gotta eat it. You guys probably went in the hole that year on peanut brittle. You never knew why, it was me. Amen, but we are glad to be here. I believe I have a word from the Lord for this church tonight. I believe that with all of my heart. I really do. I believe the Lord spoke to me very specifically about this service tonight, and we just want to do what God has told us to do. Amen. I want you just to turn to your neighbor and just tell him it's time to speak to your mountain. Turn to your other neighbor, tell him the same thing. It's time to speak to your mountain. God bless you. You may be seated. Speak to your mountain. The story begins, and I got a few things I need to say tonight. I'll try to get through them as quickly as I can. I know we have work in the morning. But the story begins with Jesus and his disciples making the journey from Bethany to Jerusalem. It was on the outskirts of Jerusalem as they were heading into Jerusalem that the Bible records that Jesus got hungry and he desired something to eat. Looking on down the path ahead of him, he saw a fig tree that he thought that he could receive nourishment from. But once he got up to it, he realized that even though the fig tree had the look of being productive, there was no fruit on it. And because of its lack of production, the Bible tells us that Jesus curses the tree. So after cursing the fig tree, Jesus and his disciples make their way into Jerusalem, where Jesus would enter into the temple, cast out all the money changers that were in the temple, preach to them about the fact that his house should be called a house of prayer. Remember that story? The next morning comes and they're making their way out of Jerusalem now, and they pass by that fig tree. The fig tree that Jesus had cursed on the previous day, they're now passing by it again. And that's where we pick up the story, Mark chapter 11 and verse 20. Mark chapter 11 and verse 20. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he hath saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Now, there's a very important point from this text that I need for us to get. For as they, and I need your minds for a moment here, as they passed by the fig tree that had shriveled up and died, Peter points it out and Peter makes reference to it. He, along with the rest of the disciples, were no doubt amazed at Christ's ability to cause this tree to shrivel up and die. According to our text, the tree literally withered away in just a few hours' time. That's a miracle. That's a marvelous work of the Lord. That is a supernatural thing that has just been witnessed by the disciples. So we see that Peter was all excited about it. He was talking about it. He was pointing at it. He was, guys, do you see this? This fig tree was perfect last night. And now, look, it has withered up from the roots. What a miracle God did. What a supernatural thing that Jesus did in our midst. We get to see this thing. And whereas it was a miracle, and whereas it was a supernatural occurrence that could only be done by the hand of the Lord, I think it would do us good not to get so caught up with Peter's reaction to the fig tree as we are with Christ's reaction to the fig tree. I know it's like conjecture on my part, but I just have to believe that as they were leaving Jerusalem, Jesus was leading the disciples, which would indicate that Jesus probably, very possibly saw the tree first. If he's in the lead, he probably saw the tree, the withered tree first, but he never says a word about it. When Peter finally sees the tree, he gets all excited about it, and he's all amazed by it, and he gets the Lord's attention, and he points it out to the Lord, and he says, look at the withered tree. Look at what happened. Look at the miracle that you did. But we see that the Lord never references or acknowledges the tree. He never says, yeah, it's pretty cool what I can do, huh? He never says, yeah, I did that. He never teaches about it. He never makes an application about it. He never says anything about the tree. But instead, the Lord simply stops walking, looks at the disciples, and then points to a mountain that is right in front of them. And tells them, if you have faith to speak to this mountain, it'll be cast into the sea. Notice, Jesus never says one thing about the fig tree, for he was too busy trying to get their attention on a mountain. Why? Because he knew, hear me right now, he knew that the moment that the disciples started thinking that fig trees withering up was the epitome and the totality of what God could do, would be also the same moment that they would never even consider speaking in faith to a soaring mountain that was in front of them in order that it would be cast into a sea. If a little fig tree had stretched their faith, then speaking to a mountain would never even cross their mind. Are you with me? If seeing that tree wither away and die was a monumental miracle in their minds, then that type of thinking would never allow them to believe that the massive mountain in front of them could be moved away by their faith. And Jesus recognized this fact. And Jesus saw the thinking taking shape in the minds of the disciples. So before they started putting a ceiling on their faith, the Lord steps in and he says, don't look at the fig tree. Don't focus on a fig tree blessing. I want you to get your eyes on a mountain. In order to let them know that their faith had the ability to cause that which seemed immovable to move. And I feel like God sent me to this church this evening with that same revelation. For it is just possible that individually and collectively we have begun to set some boundaries and some limitations for what we believe that God is capable of doing. It is just possible that what we have seen God do in the past has become the pinnacle for what we believe God can do for us in the present. It's just possible that, like Peter, we are so amazed at what God has done in our yesterdays that we are missing the mountain that he wants to give us in our today. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Because of that, we shout about what God has already done. And the reason for our shout becomes the height for what we believe God is capable of doing. Things we've already seen him do. We have a mentality that says, if we can just get back to that place, if we could just see that again, if we could just walk in that dimension one more time. It's something we've already seen. It was a high point. It was a great point. It was a great revival. It was a great outpouring. It was a great season in the church. And if we could just get back to that place, oh, it would be great times. And we rejoice over what God has already done. We rejoice over the high points that the presence of God has unleashed in this house. But I hear the Holy Ghost talking to somebody in this room right now. In order for you to turn your eyes from a fig tree, in order that you might get them upon a mountain. Oh, hallelujah. Let me say it like this. You need to rejoice for every person who received the Holy Ghost in this church last year. And you need to rejoice over every person that was baptized in Jesus' name in this church last year. But do not think for a moment that what God did last year is all that He has the power to do this year. Under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, let me tell you right now that God is trying to get your attention from a fig tree to a mountain, because the moment you begin to have faith to believe for something greater will begin to be the moment that you begin to walk in a dimension of power and a dimension of revival and a dimension of blessing and a dimension of anointing that you've never walked in before. God is wanting to take you to a place that you've never walked in before. He's wanting to escort you into a dimension of apostolic power and apostolic anointing, the likes of which you have never seen before. But you got to get your eyes off of the fig tree and get them on a mountain. Come on, if you believe that, put your hands together. Hallelujah. Mr. Sound Man, all the monitor you can give me. Can I tell somebody, it is no harder for God to fill 100 people with the Holy Ghost than it is for Him to fill 5? Well, only other churches see 100 soul revivals. Not us. Only those churches that pastors get up at conferences and conventions and testify of seeing 100 soul revivals. Just churches in Texas see that kind of stuff. Churches in Louisiana see that kind of stuff. Not us. Why not? Well, because we never have. All we can believe for is what we've already seen. All we can have faith for is what we've already experienced. God says, stop looking at the fig tree. Get your eyes on a mountain that you've never traversed. Get your eyes on a mountain that you've never walked upon. Get your eyes on a mountain that you've never scaled before. Because if you can believe God for it, you will have it. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. So we have to ask ourselves the question individually and collectively. Is there a mountain in front of us that we are speaking to in faith? Or have we become content with what God has already done? What mountain are you speaking to? What mountain is in your view? Hear me, what mountain are you currently speaking in faith towards? I know it looks challenging. I know it looks impossible. I know it looks overwhelming. But why don't you go ahead and start speaking it in faith anyway? Ma'am, I know your mountain looks difficult and unmanageable and demanding, but why don't you go ahead and start speaking to that mountain anyway? For the word of the Lord has given us a promise that lets us know that if we will speak in faith into that impossible situation that lies in front of us, then God will respond to our faith by removing that mountain. Yes, it would be easier to just reminisce about fig tree blessings. Yes, it would be a whole lot easier just to sit around the table after church at Denny's. And is there a Denny's? Help me out. What do you got? Jeans? It's easier to sit around at Jeans after church on a Sunday night and talking about what we've seen in the past and how things used to be and the glories of our yesterdays. When all the while God is saying, what I did for you in your yesterdays was for your yesterdays. But I don't want you living in your yesterdays. I want you living in your todays. Somebody needs to have an attitude that says, I've got a vision that is bigger than my yesterdays. I've got a vision that is bigger than what has already happened. Therefore, with eyes of faith, I'm going to peer into the mountains of my tomorrows, and I'm going to speak in faith to every promise that God has promised us. Somebody shout amen. Now watch this. So once we've allowed our spiritual eyes to rise above the mundane, in order to focus on what is greater, we need to have direction for what to do next. The very first book of our Bibles, we're introduced to one who knew what it was like to have a dream for something bigger and a dream for something greater. His name was Joseph, and this is the portion of his story, Genesis 37 and verse 5. Genesis 37 and 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream. I wonder who the dreamers are amongst us this evening. And Joseph dreamed a dream. Ready? And he told it to his brothers. So you have a dream. You've pointed out a mountain that's in front of you. Now what? The first thing I want you to notice from the story is that for Joseph's dream to mean anything, and for that dream that is worth anything, you must first be able to speak it before it can be realized. God gave Joseph this dream, and the first thing he did with it was speak it to the people that were around him. The reason why so many God-given dreams die by the wayside is because the individual does not believe it enough to speak it in faith. They don't want to talk about it. Why? Because what if it doesn't come to pass? I just won't say anything. Why? Because I'm just not really for sure it's going to happen. I just don't want everybody to know that I stepped out in faith. Because if everybody knows I stepped out in faith and it doesn't work and it doesn't come through, then what's everybody going to think about me? I'm not a woman of faith. I'm not a man of faith. So it's best to just not say anything at all. And dreams die. Dreams die. Oh, hallelujah. Can I tell you? There needs to be some precious saints of God who start speaking those things that are not as though they already were. There needs to be some people who start talking about how it's going to be. When the miracle happens, let me tell you what it's going to look like. Let me tell you what my praise is going to look like. Let me tell you what my life is going to look like. Let me tell you what my story is going to look like when my blessing happens, when my miracle happens, when my breakthrough happens. Has it happened yet? No, it hasn't happened yet. Do you see anything happening? No, I don't even see anything, but I'm going to speak it anyway. I'm going to open my mouth anyway. I'm going to speak it in faith anyway. Somebody needs to start acting and start talking like God's already done it, like God's already fixed it, like God's already turned it around, like God's already made a way where there seems to be no way. Somebody needs to start speaking to a mountain like you can already see it moving out of the way. And I feel to say this in the Holy Ghost. Please don't take this out of context. Or I want to say this the way I feel the Holy Ghost told me to say it. And I know I'm just a guest preacher here tonight. I don't want to cause any issues. This church. I don't know anything about anything. But I feel in the Holy Ghost right now that you need to release your pastor to be able to speak vision. You hear me? You need to be able to release your pastor. Pastor, you come to this pulpit and you preach to us vision. And I know it might sound big. And when it leaves your lips, we might not know how it's going to happen. And it might sound crazy. And it might sound far-fetched. And it might be something we've never heard of or seen before in our midst. But you got to release your pastor to be able to come to this pulpit and speak the vision that is in his heart and speak the vision that God has given him. I'm just going to step out in faith. I'm going to step out just to say what I believe. And if I missed it, Pastor, I missed it. You can tell me after church that I missed it. But I felt the Holy Ghost told me that there is some stuff that is burning in this man's heart. There is some vision that is burning inside his spirit that he doesn't know how it will be taken if he speaks it. He doesn't know how it will be received if he begins to speak in faith, God-given vision. There needs to be somebody in this house that says, Pastor, we release you to speak. We release you to speak. We are taking the handcuffs off of you. We are taking the hindrances off of you. We want you to speak vision. If it's bold, bring it. If it's something we've never heard of, if it's going to get us out of our comfort zones, if it's going to push us, then so be it. But we're ready. We are ready. We are ready. We want to leave behind the fig tree, and we want to go to the mountain. Come on, put your hands together. Speak it, speak it, speak it, speak it, speak it, speak it, speak it. I will declare the glory of the Lord. I will declare the promises of God. I will declare everything that God spoke into my heart. Turn to your neighbor. Tell him you need to speak your vision. Not talking about some goofy name it and claim it stuff. I'm talking about stuff when God gives you a word. When God gives you a promise. Speak it. Genesis 37 and 5. Back to our story quickly of Joseph. Joseph dreamed a dream. And he spoke it to his brothers. Ready? Watch this. And they hated him. Let me say this. If hell doesn't hate you for what you're speaking, then your faith isn't big enough. I'm not trying to upset anybody tonight. I'm not trying to make anybody feel uncomfortable. I'm just the guest guy here. But hell does not mind us standing around our fig tree talking about how good God has been. Look at, and it's withered up. He doesn't mind it at all. But he hates it when we say, yeah, that was cool for yesterday. But do you see this mountain over here? That is what hell hates. And the truth of the matter is this. I want hell to hate me for what I'm believing God for. I want the enemy to despise me for what I believe is going to happen. I want the kingdom of darkness to abhor everything about me for what I believe God is going to do. So we need to search our hearts tonight, and we need to see if we have any dreams burning on the inside of us. Not dreams that we've tucked away, not dreams that we've hidden in some dark corner somewhere because they didn't get fulfilled when we wanted them to or like we wanted them to. I'm talking about dreams. I'm talking about visions that are burning on the inside of us. And we need to search our hearts in order to see if we have any of those kind of dreams that hell hates us for. I'm not talking about just coming to church on Wednesdays and coming back on Sundays. I'm not just talking about doing a little thing here and a little thing there for the Lord. I'm not just talking about going through the motions. The question is this. What are you believing God for right now? Hear me. That when God does it, it is absolutely going to tear the devil's kingdom down. That's what we're asking tonight. That's what the Holy Ghost sent me to talk to you about tonight. God is asking you right now, what are you believing for at this very moment? That when it happens, the devil's kingdom, the devil's plans, the devil's intents will come to nothing. Somebody in this house needs to start dreaming big. Somebody in this house needs to dream and needs to believe like you understand that God has all power in heaven and in earth. We need to start dreaming like we know that God can do exceeding and abundant above all we can ask or even think. Watch this. I'm hurrying to a close. Genesis 37:5. I wish I had more voice. Sorry. Genesis 37:5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him yet the more. And he said to them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed." He said, "I don't care what you say. I'm going to tell it to you anyway." Well, he says, verse 7, "For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and see, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." Now watch. Verse 8. "And his brothers said unto him, Shall you indeed reign over us? Question. Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? Question. And they hated him yet the more for his dreams." We didn't hate you before, we really hate you now. But notice, here's what I want you to see. His brothers asked him specific questions about how his dream was going to come to pass. They asked him specific questions concerning the details of his dream and how those details were going to be fulfilled. "Shall you really indeed reign over us? Shall you have dominion over us? What's this going to look like, Joseph? How's this going to work? You're speaking this dream, but what are the details of the dream?" But notice, when you read the story, he never answers them, because he did not have an answer for them. But here's the thing. Even though he didn't have the answers concerning his dream, he spoke his dream anyway. Here's what I want you to get. The enemy of your soul cannot stand it when you don't have the answers, but you go ahead and speak the dream anyway. Hell cannot stand it when you do not know how it's going to work out, and yet you step out in faith anyway and command your mountain to move. How's the mountain going to move? I don't know. How's it going to work? I don't know. Do you know how that mountain's going to get out of here? I don't have a clue. What are you going to do? I'm going to stand up and I'm going to put my finger in the face of that mountain and I'm going to speak in faith that it has to move. You might not always be able to tell when your mountain will be moved, and you might not always be able to tell somebody how your mountain will be able to be moved, but I'm here to tell you, go ahead and speak anyway. Go ahead and speak it anyway. Go ahead and speak it in faith anyway. I don't know how God's going to do it, but my husband's going to pray back through to the Holy Ghost. I don't know how it's going to happen, but my child is going to come back to the Lord. I don't have all of the answers, but I do know I'm going to do something great for the glory of God. I don't have all the steps quite worked out, but this door is going to open. My promise is going to happen. You do not need all of the answers. Just step out in faith. Speak to your mountain and declare your victory in Jesus' name. If you wait to figure it all out, you're going to miss the moment. If you wait to get every answer to every question, you're going to miss the moment. Step out in faith. If you know it's God, I don't need every answer. I just know I got a promise. And I'm going to step out on that promise. If your pastor comes to this pulpit next Sunday with some crazy big vision, hear me, that he has been hesitant to cast, and he doesn't have every answer for how it's going to work out, do not discount the vision, because every answer to every question isn't there. I feel in the Holy Ghost right now. I feel in the Holy Ghost right now that this church is on the precipice of something monumental and something great. I feel it in my spirit. And I feel like you feel it in your spirit as well. There's a great spirit of worship here. There's a great spirit of unity here, just from what I've gathered since I've been here. I feel in my spirit that there is, God is wanting to open the door, the next door, into the next dimension of his presence and his power as it applies to revival, as it applies to anointing, as it applies to growth, as it applies to apostolic outpouring. I believe you are at a precipice. The thing that is going to open that door and allow you to walk through that door is your willingness to submit to a vision that is bigger than you. The thing that is going to usher you in to the next calling and the next wave of revival, the likes of which are unparalleled with anything you've ever seen, is going to be your willingness to say yes to a vision that seems absolutely out of reach. We can shout about it tonight. And we can worship about it tonight. We can clap about it tonight. But the moment's going to come. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. And if I missed it, I missed it. The pastor can correct you when I'm gone. But there's going to come a moment in the next weeks, months, when vision is cast. And that vision is serious. And that vision is hesitant. He doesn't know how it's going to be received. But if you'll release him to do what God has told him to do, and when he does it, you will say, yes, we believe. There's a verse in the Bible that says, and the people believe. Pastor, I know you don't have every answer to every single question, and every T is and might not be crossed, and every I might not be dotted, but we don't need that. When it needs to be done, it'll be done. When those things, let me tell you something quickly. I've got a vision for where I am in Harvey. The Lord spoke to us and said that we're to start 25, we call them campuses, call them daughter works, whatever. 25 daughter works, okay? 25. We've started one. We got 24 more to go. And we talked to the church about all this kind of stuff. And there are people, how are we going to do this? I have no idea. Where are we going to get the preachers and the pastors for them? I have no idea. Where are we going to get the music people for them, the praise singers for them? I don't know. Where are we going to get the money for it? I have no clue. But you know what? When the first one came, God blessed us. And God said, okay, here's the preacher. Here's the worship leader. Here's the teams that you're going to need. And they're baptizing people. And people are getting filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they're having church every other Sunday. And God is blessing and God is moving. And they're having revival. You want to know what? I don't know where the second one's going to come. I don't know where the third one's going to come. I don't know where the fourth. But I've got a vision. I said, I got a vision. I got a vision. And if you'll just step out in faith and declare the vision, then let God work out the details. So I feel now, I feel this so strong. If you will be willing to say yes to spoken vision, it will release the heavens over this house. I wonder who in this room right now, in sincerity of heart and in obedience to the word, Stand to your feet right now and lift your hand. He has been brought here for such a time as this. This is perfect season. This is perfect timing. Everything is lining up perfectly for the windows of heaven to be unleashed and poured out upon this people. You just have to be willing to submit and accept and say yes and speak the vision. Speak to your mountain. Believe God for something greater than what you've seen in the past. Who among you are the people who God can trust in order to place the vision of this church upon your shoulders? Who among you can God trust to take the vision of pastor and allow you to help carry the vision? I'm going to get under that vision with you, Pastor. I'm going to lift your arms. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm on board. Whatever we got to do, we're going to see it happen. Whatever thing we have to do, whatever sacrifice we have to make, whatever dimension we have to walk in, however much we got to pray, however much we got to fast, however much we got to sacrifice, we're willing to do it. We are willing to do it. If you believe this is your moment, if you believe this is truly your moment, I want you to come out of your pew and I want you to make your way to this front and I want you to lift your hands. I don't know what's typical for a Sunday night. This is what I feel to do. If you know, this is your moment. This is your day. This is your destiny. This is your time. I wonder if somebody now would just lift your voice and begin to proclaim what you believe in your spirit. I wonder if somebody right now would just lift your voice and you would just begin to speak in faith. Speak in faith. I feel something welling up in this house. I wonder if somebody could just let forth a breakthrough worship right now. You got to know hell is mad right now. You got to know that both heaven and hell are very interested in your response right now. I wonder if somebody could just let forth a breakthrough worship and a breakthrough response. Come on, how bad do you want it? How much, how willing are you to pursue after the greater things of God? How willing are you to pursue after something new in the presence of God, in the next dimension of the Holy Ghost? How bad do you want it? I said, come on, don't wait for me. There's a building in this place. Come on. Come on. Do you believe that you can see in the next 3 months greater things than what you've seen in the last 3 years? I want you right now, if you believe that, I want you right now to let heaven know you believe that. Not just with your words, but with your heart. Let heaven know we believe, we believe, we believe. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. I asked Pastor and he said it's fine. I'm going to ask Pastor and Sister Wells if you would. Can they stand right here? Pastor and his wife, if they could just come and stand right here. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Now here's what I want to do. I feel like this very possibly could be a very defining moment in the future of this church. I want every individual in this church who will release him to speak the vision that is burning on the inside and his wife. That you will release him to be the visionary of this church. And when he speaks it, you are going to get behind it. And you are going to support it. And you're going to be what God needs you to be in order for that vision to come to pass. If that is you, I wonder right now if you could just surround them. Everybody might not be able to lay their hands on them, but maybe some of the ladies could lay their hands on Sister Wells. There we go. That's beautiful, bud. That's beautiful. Listen, something is going to happen in your spirit when you pray for them. There is going to be a release, not just in your words, but in your spirit. You are going to release them. If you can't touch Pastor his wife, touch someone who is touching them. Make a point of contact with someone who is contacting them. It's time for somebody to start looking forward to your tomorrows. It's time for this church to understand and know that God has a mountaintop experience that He wants to lead you into, that He wants to guide you into greater things. Greater things. Greater things. Come on, that's it. Go ahead, sister. I just need one person. Come on, I believe God wants to take us to the next dimension now. I just need one person to break through in the spirit. When you do, it'll open the door. Everyone else will follow. Come on, I need, there it is. Go ahead. Go ahead, I need one person. Spiritual warfare to happen in this house. We tear down every stronghold. We tear down every stronghold. We tear down everything that's been hindering. We tear down in the name of Jesus everything that has been fighting. Go ahead, there it is. We tear it down on the authority of the Word of God and by the power of the name of Jesus. We release liberty now to walk in every promise, to walk in the dimension of the Spirit that you are calling this church to walk in. Come on, come on, go, 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 go. Now I want you to connect with a brother or sister right now, and then I'll be done. But I want you to connect with the brother or sister there beside you in unity. Now I want you to go after the things of God. We are a unified force. We are a unified body of believers. We will see everything God has called us to see. We will see it. We will walk in it. There is nothing that can stop us. There is nothing that can stop us. There is nothing that can stop us. Oh, ho, ho. We will not settle for anything less than every promise that God has promised us. We will not settle until we have witnessed every prophecy that has been prophesied over this church. We will pursue after everything. He said, I'll say this one last thing, and I'll be quiet. You guys remember the story in Scripture where Joshua and people of God, they're in battle, and the Lord gives them the promise that they're going to be victorious. But the sun starts going about, you know, it starts getting dark, and they got to be victorious while it's still light, where they can, remember that story? Joshua steps up and he points to the sun and he says, sun, stand still. And it stayed light and they were victorious. Okay. So he spoke in faith. Right? Now what he didn't know and what we know today is that the sun always stands still. The sun doesn't move. The earth moves. He didn't know that. Technology didn't have that understanding by that time. It looked like the sun moves to them. So he points to what he thought was a moving sun, says stand still. If the sun to him did in fact look like it stood still, it could only have been because the earth stopped rotating. He spoke in faith. God honored it by causing the earth to stop rotating. What can you believe God for? Nothing. Nothing is impossible. Nothing will be withheld from this church if there are a group of people in this church that with faith speak what the Lord told them they could have. He will work it out. He will put everything into place. He can stop the earth from rotating. I just have a feeling he can do what needs to be done to cause every prophecy over this church, not even just since the wells have been here, but prophecies over this church from years gone by that are still unfulfilled. I believe, I say yea in the Holy Ghost, it is the will of God for every prophecy that has been prophesied by men of God under the anointing of the Holy Ghost to be fulfilled over this body of believers. If he can find a group of believers in the church that will be willing to say in faith, I believe. And we will not settle, and we will not slow down, and we will not be quiet until we are witnessing everything that God has promised us as a people. If you believe that, put your hands to give God.
Thank you, Brother Cox. Thank you for obeying the Holy Ghost. I want you to know you're on point. You haven't missed it at all. We haven't talked much, Brother Cox and I, about much here in Sandwich. You know, just casual conversation at different settings, conferences and meetings where we've had opportunity to be together. I say that so that you understand that Brother Cox had no idea that there's a building on the other side of town that I drive by numerous times a week that I've been praying. I know there's a lot of attachment to this building, and I know that some of you, you received the Holy Ghost here, and but I look around and I see some withering. Please understand, I'm just trying to obey the Holy Ghost and step out in faith. I appreciate what God has done, but God has brought somebody here that I don't have any nostalgic attachment to this building. I'm sorry. And I know we're not filling this place up yet. I know that. But we don't even have wheelchair access into this building, and we don't have bathrooms on a main floor, and there's a building on the other side of town, old design stairs building. It's been sitting empty since I got here. With God, all things are possible. Not in any way, shape, or form to take it in a negative direction, but I just feel in the Holy Ghost to play a little pastor here at this point. Well, Coxon, you begin to read from the story of Joseph. You begin to make the points that you made. I begin to think, why is it that the brothers hated the dreamer so much? The reason why the brothers hated the dreamer so much is because they were envious of him. And the reason why they were envious of him is because he had the favor of his father. I'm trying to be delicate. I'm going to try to be careful, but some of you don't know what my family's had to battle in the spirit, in the sense of some envy from even brothers and sisters. Catch this. And I'm just going to speak in the Holy Ghost right now. And his own brothers bound him up. But you need to understand that even though envy can bind someone, it will never detour the destiny that God has for them. And I pray for those brothers and sisters who have been envious and have said things. And I please understand my heart in this. I hold no ill will toward them whatsoever. I look forward to the day that those same brothers and sisters come to the house of God where said favorite of God is preaching in the pulpit and watch them bow at an altar. And I'm going to be the first one that goes down and puts my arm around them and says, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. I know you didn't understand what you were doing, what you meant for evil. God meant for good. And now I'm here. And we're here together, and God's providing for all of us. I don't know why I have the favor of my father, but I'm so thankful. And please don't be envious of the blessings of God. Don't let envy bind your brother or your sister when they speak in faith. Get behind them. Support them. Say, hey, let's see it together. I believe for your dream. You believe for mine. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your faith. Let's believe together. Let's believe the great things are yet to come. Great things. All over the South, let's lift our hands in the Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for using your prophet. Thank you. I was speaking for the man that you have brought. Let's be words of faith in our heart and our mind, God. Let us not just be hearers, but let us be doers, God. Let us realize that here is the time. Now is the time. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My, what a power of the presence of God in this place tonight. I'm excited. There's anticipation in my spirit. I'm done with fig tree type faith. I want to believe in a God who moves mountains. I'm glad I don't have to have all the answers. I'm glad I can just know I serve a God who does. And I just have faith in God. And you don't dismiss from a service like this. You don't dismiss from this type of atmosphere. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Let us speak faith, God. Let us speak to the mountain, God, believing and trusting in your power to perform. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. One more time, why don't you clap your hands in the Lord? Hallelujah. I'm believing it's not going to be too long where Pastor doesn't have to play the drums anymore. I believe it's not going to be too long where Sister Wells gets to break away from the piano every now and then because there's other people who are stepping up and saying, hey, I catch the vision, Pastor. I'm a part of it. I want to see it happen. Hallelujah. You better go or I'm going to get fired up again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Brother Cox. Thank you, Brother Cox. Why don't you give him a hand clap of appreciation for his obedience to the power and presence of God. Thank you for flowing in the Holy Ghost. Now you may go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.